Also, Father's Day, we always do our Father's Day offering. Just to, we have some more things we could do around the building. Just really thinking about doing different with our conferences this year. We're going to probably do two conferences. Starting in the fall, we'll do one. And one in the spring, it'll just be a two-day conference, though, on the weekend, so everybody can come. So these kind of things all get helped out with this Father's Day offering. So I ask you to pray and really just talk to God about what you should do in that. If you haven't yet, grab the baby bottle. We're supporting the Haldimand Pregnancy Care Center with those. So if you haven't got a baby bottle yet, grab one, put some change in it so we can help them out. And then also, last but not least, we have about 10 people that have signed up for the mission trip so far. If you are planning on going and you haven't yet signed up, go over to guest services after the service. We need a final count by the end of this week, just so we can start planning our work while we're there, so we know who's coming and what's going on. All right? Good. So today, we're going to continue on with our series on relationships. I think the longest running series we've ever had. So, really what we're talking about is doing life God's way in our families. I don't know about you, I want to get as best close to right as I can get. We were talking about this at Young People's on Thursday. My goal is that in the end, I want to be able to stand before God and have Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Did my will my way." I think a lot of times we want to do good our own way, but God has a way. He has a plan. So we not only get to be called children of God, right? But He gave us the manual for life so that we can live it right, so that we can know how God wants us to live it. We can know how God has called us to live it. If regular life is any representation of normal things, then generally, ladies read the instructions. Men just try and throw it together by themselves. And then if they can't figure it out, they go back and read the instructions. So it's not the way we're going to be, though, as men in this church, right? We're going to read the instructions, live life God's way. We talked about the fact how God not only calls us to live right in relationships, but that He's empowered us to do it, right? He's given us everything we need to know and everything we need to live out our relationships properly. If we just stay focused on Him and listen to Him and rely on Him and just stay close. I think if there's one thing that we need to learn as Christians, if we're going to live out the Christian life, we got to stay close to God. I love the story of Enoch. I think about it many times, you know, like Enoch walked with God, then he walked away with God. He just knew that the most important thing in his life was God and his relationship with God, and one day it just took him away to be with God, never saw death. But I think like we need to understand that if we're going to do this right, we got to have a relationship with God. We got to spend time with Him. We got to enjoy the time we spent. I think Judah wrote on his blog this week that he really was struggling with some of his time with God, and just it was becoming routine to him. And then he said one day he's reading James chapter 3, and he read it through and really didn't get anything out of it. And thought, well, I guess that's it. And then he read it through. He said, no, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to find out what God has for me in this today. And he read it again and again and again, until he found what God had in it for him. Sometimes we got to take a little bit extra effort to connect with God. So He gives us the power to do it His way. He's not an evil trickster. He doesn't tell us to do something and then laugh at us when we can't. Hate when people do that. Hate when people send me on a wild goose chase and then I can't get it done and they laugh. Makes you feel stupid. But God isn't like that. He rejoices when you get it right. He wants you to get it right. As we even talked about, you know, like when a surgeon is working in a body, the surgeon is not working on the body because he wants to show how wrong you are and how messed up you are. The surgeon's working in your body because he wants to get it right. He wants to get the things out that are wrong, correct the things, and make them right. And that's what God wants to do in our life. He wants to correct the things and make them right. Well, the last couple of weeks we've talked about the husband, relationship with the wife. So husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's really important, right? Working on it, hopefully. All the guys are working on that, just reading and studying maybe in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, and seeing how to do that. And then wives are supposed to put their husbands first and respect them, right? We talked about what that meant. If you want to listen again, you can catch it online. But today we get to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and that is parenting. I love being a parent. I love it with all my heart, and I just thank God that I get the opportunity. It's the greatest gift that I've ever been given. I get to raise two sons. With Christine, we get to do it together. But it's something that we need to think about. It's something that doesn't happen well by accident, although I can't say it never happens well by accident. Because sometimes I see kids come out of the worst situations and turn into these amazing people. So it can happen by accident. I'm not saying it can't. But I'm saying it usually works better when we're intentional. It usually works better when we work at it and get it right. I love math. I don't know about you guys. I love math. I always loved especially algebra. Because algebra, you just sort of had to flick a switch in your head and start thinking in a different way than you normally thought. And it was challenging, and you had to think about it. You had to be creative about it. You had to really just focus on it. And I think parenting is a lot like that. I think parenting can be tricky at times. I think we really have to focus on what we're doing when we're parenting. I think we have to be really creative. I think we can't give up when we think it's too hard. We can't do any of those things. We've got to stick with it. It's amazing because we have these lives in our hands. I mean, really, when you start reading even just regular kind of statistics, how important it is for kids to have a great family to grow up in. How important it is to have parents that are fully engaged in raising their kids. I think it's scary to leave it to chance. In the world we live in today, so many kids now, instead of going to their parents and asking them things, will go to other kids and ask them. Or they'll go to the internet and get the answer. And we all know how tricky the internet can be. It's not a great place always for answers. But kids generally, in our culture, are going to people that only know as much as they know and only care about them for the moment. We are their parents, and we're caring for them for a lifetime, not just for a few moments, right? So anyway, just in case you're already done raising your own kids, because I know there are some here that are, don't check out on me, because there's grandkids and there's other people you can help. But anyway, sometimes parenting can be challenging, right? Parenting can be hard. And a lot of times, we don't like the challenge. I always think about that. That's why I brought up the subject of math, because one thing I loved about math, and especially some of the harder parts of math, was the challenge of it. Whenever there was that challenge, it made me try harder. It made me want to win more. And then we ought to be like that as parents. If you're a parent of a teenager, you'll understand this one completely. Your child wants to go to the game store and trade in a game that they've already beat, right? They've already won the game. They beat the game. They want to get a game that's more challenging, right? So you take them to the game store. You go through all the trouble. They go pick out this new game that's more challenging, and they go down and they play their game. And then the next day, you find them on the computer online trying to find the cheats so they could beat this new game. When they just gave away the old game that they could beat so that they could beat it and win, and they understood it, now they go buy a new game and they try and get a cheat so that they can win it easier. It's crazy, but sometimes we have to realize that in the hard, in the challenge of it is where the fun lies, right? It's not fun to cheat. It's not fun to cheat at parenting. It's not fun to cheat at life. And God's given us wisdom. God's given us people in our lives so that we can live life well. God's given us relationships so that we can rely on them and get help when we need help. If we're going to have our kids grow up to be great kids, great adults, great husbands or wives, great employees, great volunteers, great whatever, it's going to take effort. It's going to take working through challenges. It's going to take trying to outthink them and outthink their friends and outthink the world and all the things that it throws at them. We get this opportunity. It's not too hard. It's not too hard. It's challenging. It's not too hard. So today and next week, I just want to give you some biblical ideas about parenting. And whenever you could start, if you haven't started well as parents, don't worry about that. Just get going now. Try and make this as practical as possible. But one of the things about parenting, you can't quit halfway. If you do, you'll have a mess. You got to stay focused. You got to have a plan, and you got to carry it through. Malachi 2:15 says, "Didn't God create you to become like one person with your wife? And why did he do this? It was so you would have children and lead them to become God's people. Don't ever be unfaithful to your wife." We know from this verse that God wants us to lead our children to Christ. It's one of the main priorities, to raise godly kids. It's one of the main priorities of marriage. And so many times we focus on all kinds of other things than raising godly kids. We focus on their education, which is important. We focus on their sports, which is important. We focus on their, you know, abilities to do different things. And those things are important. They're all important. All should be balanced. All should have a place. But a lot of times as Christian parents, we don't focus a lot of time and energy on making sure that our kids are going to follow Jesus. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Well, that whole deal about training up a child, right? It's not like training up a dog, right? It's about something totally different. And Matthew Henry's commentary on the Bible says this about it. It says, "Initiate the child at the opening or at the mouth of his path. When he comes to the opening of the way of life, begin being able to walk alone and to choose, stop at this entrance." So when your child gets to the place where there is a place for your children to start making decisions, I don't think that place is when they're 16. I think that place is when they're 6 or 3 or 5. Whenever they start to understand that there's these things in life. One of the greatest books Christine and I read was the book Boundaries with Children. And that whole book gives the whole idea about not just having these rigid fences, but having boundaries for kids to move around in, because it helps them to learn how to make choices and how to do things right. So at the opening of their path, when they could start to make choices for themselves, when they can start to do things on their own, then it says, stop at this entrance and begin a series of instructions. How the child is to conduct themselves in every step they take. Show them the duties, the dangers, the blessings of the path. Give them directions how to perform the duties, how to escape the dangers, how to secure the blessings, which all lie before them. Fix these things on their minds by daily inculcation till their impression has become indelible. Then lead them to practice by slowly and almost imperceptible degrees till each indelible impression becomes a strongly eradicated habit. Beg incessantly the blessing of God on all of this teaching and discipline. And then you have obeyed the injunction of the wisest of men. Nor is there any likelihood that such impressions shall ever be effaced or that such habits shall ever be destroyed. It's the whole idea of just going through and explaining life to your kids. I always think that one of the stupidest things I've ever heard, now to a point, is don't fight in front of the kids. Don't ever show the kids you're going through stuff. Don't ever, you know, that. Because if we never ever show the kids that there's problems in life, the kids never know how to solve them. The kids never learn how to deal with struggles if they never see them. I know so many people that by the time they're 18 and they're 19 or 20 and they get married and they start having a family, they think, well, why are we fighting? Why do we fight now? My parents never fought. And it's crazy. We need to be able to help our kids through. We need to be able to talk about the things of life that sometimes are difficult to talk about. I remember when we sat down and talked to our boys about sex. It was like the hardest thing I ever had to do, and they laughed at me. One of them was laying on the floor laughing his head off. It's like, Dad, why are you telling me this? I don't want to know. Just stop. But it was important. They need to understand at a young age how to deal with the struggles and the pressures that are going to be in the world around them. The way the world looks at sex is way different than the way we look at it and how we understand God's way compared to the world's way. We believe that we should save ourselves for our spouse, that we shouldn't be doing all the things that the world says are okay. So if I'm going to, as a parent, help my kids to understand that, we got to start before they start having those urges. And that's why they're laying on the floor going, don't tell me, Dad, because they don't want to hear it. But we understand and we could talk about that now and not be embarrassed. We could talk about it and not be all worked up about it. We can have a conversation. We could talk about, I remember when some of my kids' friends went through divorce, and we could talk about what happens and what goes on and how to build a solid marriage and how to love your wife and, you know, honor your husband and talk about things that matter in our culture today. You know, like there's a lot of things out there that are pulling on our kids. There's a lot of things, and if we don't work it through, if we don't talk it through with them, if we don't take opportunities when things arise to teach them and instruct them and show them, they're out there and they don't know what they're doing. They just totally don't know what they're doing. I remember like when we were on our honeymoon, Christine and I, and I wanted to go parasailing. Right? Because I love the water and I would love to try it. Parasailing? No, sailboard. And the guy said, have you ever done that before? I said, no, I've never done it. He said, well, if I were you, I wouldn't do it right now because it's really windy. And he said, if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to get out there. The wind's going to take you out to the ocean. You're not coming back. You know, but a lot of times the wind's taking our kids out to the ocean because we haven't taken the time to teach them and instruct them how to do things. Even little things, right? Even things like, you know, cooking and cleaning and things like that are really, really important. There are things our kids need to know. You know, in our culture, growing up, when my parents were young and raising us, Mom did all the cooking and cleaning, and Dad worked out he went to work and he ran a farm. And the rule was in our house, when we were really young, boys go work in the barn, girls work in the house. You know, and that changed over time because culture changed a bit. But in our culture today, boys need to know how to cook and clean and do all that as much as the girls need to know. We need to understand that, and we need to teach our children. Silly little things. I know my brother John used to be really hooked on flight simulators. I don't know if you still are. But he tells me every time when I'm flying somewhere, he says, oh, I've flown there before. You know, I've flown there before. Oh, Tim, too. But anyway, they've flown there before. And we want our kids to be like that. That they actually, when they run into a situation where they see the situation and identify the situation, that they can say, I've already flown there before. I've already been there before. Maybe not in real life, but in simulation. So that they understand how to live, how to walk through things, and how to do things. It's really important. So the first thing really I want to just focus on today is that if we're going to be great parents, that are Christian parents, that are going to lead our kids to follow Christ, we have to invite the presence of the Lord into our parenting. We have to allow God's presence in our lives and in our home. It's not enough just to go to church on Sunday. It's not enough to go to church in the small group. It's not enough even if you were in church every day. We have to have a relationship with God for ourselves, and we have to be able to show our kids how to have a relationship with God. God wants to be everything to you, right? He wants to be everything. He wants to be part of everything in your life. He wants to be your everything. So why don't we invite Him into our families? Why don't we invite Him into our marriages? Why don't we invite Him into our parenting? I love what it said in Matthew. Henry's commentary there. It said, beg incessantly the blessing of God in all this teaching, right? Bring God into it. Ask God to help you. Ask God to teach you and instruct you so that you could do a great job. God's more than an icon, a spiritual or religious icon that we just visit on Sunday mornings. God's our friend. He's our Father. He's our Comforter. He's our Redeemer. He's our Guide. He's our Wisdom. He's our Strength. We've talked about all these things. So in order for us to do this, right, we need to bring God into the picture. There's so many things in our culture drawing on our kids, pulling on our kids, pulling them to do things their way. And there's some good stuff out there, some good, fun stuff, but we got to bring God into the whole deal. So if there's so many things pulling from the world on our kids, don't we think we should get God pulling on them from the other way and just start pulling and bringing them in? I think we do that when we start to have a thankful heart as a family. When we start to thank God for the things He's doing, and we don't allow God to grow common. Elijah, can you put on that video?
I was at my 20-year high school reunion, and a bunch of buddies of mine came up to me and they said, dude, that's your wife? Like, they were all shocked because they thought she was so hot. And it kind of makes you feel insecure because you think, wow, am I that ugly? So I went home and I remember getting a picture and just grabbing a picture, and I tried to look at it objectively. Like, I thought, okay, what if I never met this couple and I just saw them for the first time? What would I think? And I just looked at the picture and I thought, wow, she really does look a lot better than he does. And I don't know why. It's like I always thought that when we were dating and everything else, but 14 years later, it's almost like when you're so familiar with someone, they can become common to you, like just another person. And my concern is sometimes we can do that with God. Those of us who've been in the church for a long time, we've been praying for a long time, hearing about Him for a long time, that He becomes so familiar to us that He becomes common. I mean, what comes to mind when I write this in the sand? When you see that word God, do you just think, oh, another word I've heard about in my whole life, it's just another word? Or when you see that name that represents this amazing being, do you just, is there any sense of awe in you anymore? Like this sense of shock, like, wow, that's a holy, amazing, incredible being. And if you do think that way and have high thoughts of Him, how does it affect your everyday life? Because if your high view of God doesn't affect how you think of Him, then He's just another word in the sand.
That I realize that's different for my kids than was for me. I remember the day when my family gave their heart to Jesus, and I remember how that changed my life. I remember how it changed their lives. It was really a clear change of things. But a lot of us now are raising our kids in the church. And there's many times as we followed the Lord for a long time that we allow Him to grow common. We allow Him to just become something like an icon. But we can never treat God that way. If we do as parents, our kids are never going to grasp the fullness of who God is. We have to have a sense of awe and wonder about God. God is not just our buddy. God's not just a person that lives down the street, someone that has, you know, a little bit more wisdom than us or a little bit more power than us. He's Almighty God. He spoke the Word and the world came into existence. When He speaks the Word will end and a new world will be created. When He spoke the Word and animals and trees and all these things, He just made everything so amazing and so wonderful. And so many times we just treat God as common. We take Him as common. But if we're going to really ask God to be involved in our parenting as parents, we really just need to step up the passion level in our lives. I've always been very passionate about God in worship, especially. Whenever there's a worship time, I really just try and throw myself in and really express my love and my heart, my passion for God through it. But when I had kids, the stakes grew so much higher. I never ever want to get to a point where I feel a commonness about God, where I think that God is just buddy down the street or someone just a little bit wiser than me or a little bit more powerful. I want to have a sense of awe and wonder. God is amazing. When you think about all the processes that are going on in your body at any given time, how you're shedding skin cells and you're growing new ones, and how you have the ability to heal and blood to clot and all these different things, God created us so amazing. We look at nature and we see how God has made this perfect balance in nature. And whenever we as human beings get involved, we throw it off. We do stupid things like, I think about like, you know, when they introduced cats to Australia to get rid of one of the rodent problems, and then these cats just took over the country and threw off the whole ecosystem. And even here, you know, just some of the things that happen in nature just throw things off. But God created everything so balanced and so beautiful and so wonderful in its place and in its time. That, you know, like that the earth is the perfect temperature for us to live. It has the perfect environment for us to grow and develop in. God is wonderful. I've seen God fix marriages that are broken. I've seen God heal sick, really sick people. I've seen people that couldn't walk get up and walk. I've seen legs grow. I've seen arms grow. I've seen God do miraculous things. I've seen God take care of us as a family. As you all know, I don't drive really fancy cars. I don't really care about cars that much. But even when I come home with a wreck, my new wreck, you know, my $500 car, I'll say to the kids, look what God's given to us. Look how good God is. God's given us something new, something different. It's awesome. You know, like we need to help our kids understand the amazingness and wonder of God. We can't do that if we've never been there ourselves. If we never just stood and had our breath taken away by a beautiful sunrise or sunset, and we haven't just looked, you know, this time of the year when you're watching your trees. I love plant trees every year and just watch them grow and watch it every day and watching the leaves start to, you know, just form and develop and the little buds stick out and then the leaf opens up and looks all funny color and kind of crinkly, and then it comes out and it's this beautiful, like, you know, bright and vibrant kind of thing. And God made that. We need to understand how good, how amazing God is. If we're going to teach our kids to serve God, I don't want to serve God if God's just like me. If God was me, I wouldn't want you to serve me. But God's so much more. God's so much bigger. God is so much more powerful. Don't allow Him to grow common to you. Don't allow Him to become just another thing you do in your day, but always take time every day to give thanks to Him. If we take time to be thankful, then God will become uncommon. God will become amazing to our kids. He will. You know, we just had Logan go through this whole operation process, and through the whole thing, we thanked God each step of the way. We thanked God when they found out so quickly what was wrong with him, because he could have laid in pain for months and months and months before they figured it out. We thank God when it wasn't anything serious, like it was just a cyst in his spleen. We thanked God. We didn't know what it was, but we were really thankful that it wasn't any big deal. We were really thankful that he could get his surgery so quickly and he'd had such a good doctor. We're so thankful. I prayed for the doctor that he'd have a good sleep and his skill level would be high when he operated on Logan, and he did. And it was amazing. And we're so thankful because he healed so fast after they took out his spleen. Now, we could just look at that and say, cool, it was a doctor, it was whatever, it was, you know, just part of the normal process of human life, but it was God. God is amazing. God's powerful. God's wonderful. Having a vibrant relationship with God for yourself and sharing it with your kids is really effective for bringing the presence of God into your home. It is. Like, I mean, any given day, you'll find Christine in her room reading her Bible and growing in God. Any given day, you'll find me doing the same. And our kids see that. They know that. We talk about in our house what we're learning. We talk about what God's doing. Like Levi will come and tell me, Dad, I'm reading in here and this is what God's showing me. It's important. It doesn't happen necessarily by accident. It happens when we do it with purpose. I remember for each of my kids, the first time they really experienced the presence of God. I remember for Levi, we came back from camp. He's a little guy, maybe 5 or 6 years old. And we were having an evening service, and it was, you know, just a powerful time. Kids were giving their testimony. It was beautiful. I was on my knees, and I was just kind of crying before the Lord, as I never do, you know. And Levi puts his hand on my shoulder and said, what's that, Dad? It feels strange here, you know. And I just knew that he felt the presence of God that I was feeling. I remember Logan, we were at a conference, and you know, God really moved powerfully. And he walked away from that conference and said, I won't soon forget that. That was amazing. And I want to create environments all the time for my kids to connect with God. I want to have a way for them to experience the presence and the power of God. That's why I'll take my kids out of school and take them to a conference. Or if we're here and it's, you know, 4 nights in a row and it's late, I bring them because I want them to have an opportunity to connect with God. I want them to have an opportunity in our home to connect with God. It's really, really important. I think that we have to share with them our struggles and our victories so they can see that God brings us through. That there's times in our life where it just seems too big and we can't fix it. But God carries us through it. And God brings us out the other side whole and better than we were before. Because God is good. We need to pray for our kids every day. You know, like, take time. One of the parents in the church here was just telling me the other day, you know, like, kids are grown. They're still at home, but they're grown. Every day they take time to put their hands on their head and bless their kids. You know, bless them before they go to bed at night. It's important. It's really powerful. Even once your kids are grown, every once in a while, just take your time and just pray with them and bless them. It's really important. There's so many cool ways to open the door for Jesus into your family. But you have to open the door for Jesus into your heart first. You have to let Him in. You got to let God move in you. Second thing I want to talk about is being intentional. We need to think through the whole process of child raising and have a plan. If we don't do it intentionally, we're just reacting to things as things happen. But if we have a plan and we can get a plan from God's Word, we can live without reaction. Right? We don't have to react to things. One of the things I made up my mind when my kids were young, and Christine and I both the same. We never ever dealt with them or disciplined them when we were mad. Send them to the room. We'd cool down. They'd cool down. And then we'd sort through it. We would be really intentional. We had, you know, this little process we went through. And we'd, you know, give discipline. We'd talk about why the discipline. We'd give the discipline. And then we'd pray together and ask God to forgive and ask God to be part of our family. And you know what? A lot of those things we didn't have to keep doing when they were 13 and 14. Or even when they were 9 and 10. A lot of it, what we did when they were kids, they know how to be disciplined now on their own. They know when we say stop, we mean stop. When we say go, we mean go. Does that mean they always get it right? Not every day. But they're good boys because they have a disciplined life. We've been intentional. And how we raise them. We want to raise our kids to be well-adjusted Christ followers as adults who can make good decisions and follow through on them. Also, that they would be wise enough to know what they when they need advice and humble enough to ask for it. We want them to know how to relax and enjoy life and relationships, while at the same time having a work ethic that would be an asset to any company that they'd work for. We want them to have strong and meaningful relationships. We want them to be able to find a great spouse someday, and we want them to be able to be a great spouse someday. We want so many things for our children. So in order for our kids to have the tools that they need to live that kind of life, we need to be intentional about how we create the environment for them. We know it can happen by accident, but again, it's way better by choice. Proverbs 22, verse 6, we already read, but it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. My interpretation of this really is this verse screams intentionality. I want my sons to reach a point where they can make good decisions for themselves. And I don't want that to be when they're 30. I want that to be when they're teenagers, older teenagers, but 18, 19, maybe even 20. I want them to be fully mature adults, ready for the world. So from the start with them, we, at the beginning of their life, as I've already said, we made the rules. These are what you do. This is what you're going to eat. You're going to brush your teeth. You're going to, you know, make your bed as good as you can. You're going to clean up your clothes. And they aren't as good at that now as they used to be. Well, at least one of them. But we taught them that. We gave them instruction. We told them what clothes to wear. We put their shoes on their feet. We most of the time had to carry them out to the car. They didn't have a lot of decision-making right or ability. They just went where we went, did what we did, and that was it. Be happy or be sad, but that's life, kid. There came a point, though, where they had to start to learn to make decisions on their own. So they're not there yet. They're making some decisions, but when we started, we'd make the decision. We made these boundary things, right? Like, so, for example, our kids now, they'd like to stay up till 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock every night. But we'd like to have some time alone, right, as a couple, once in a while. So on the weekends, they'd like to stay up till 11 or 12 o'clock every night, and we'd like them to go to bed at some point so we could have some time alone. So we give them a choice. They're going to have one or two nights on the weekend where they could stay up late, and they could choose which ones those nights are. Right? They're going to watch a hockey game tonight. That means, you know, Monday night they're going to bed a bit earlier because we have a long weekend this weekend. Or whatever. We set, but they get to choose, but they don't make the whole choice. Right? And sometimes they get tired out, and then we sit down and say, well, how was that choice? How'd that work for you? You know, so that they could process through the decisions they make. So at first, we made the choices, got some input from them. Right? Now we make they make the choices with some input from us. There'll come a point where they're making mostly their own choices, but we'll give them feedback on their choices, and then there'll be the point where they make their own decisions. Hopefully when they're, you know, again, 18, 19, the latest 20. I don't want my kids to necessarily move out at that age, but I want them to be ready to do what God's called them to do at that age and be men. I want at that point be able to, you know, present them as men that I trust, that you can trust, and that I know they're going to make good decisions, they're going to follow up and ask questions when they need to. I want that for them. I want them to be men. You know, and I want there to be a point in their life where they can say, okay, I'm a man now, I have responsibilities. But again, it's very intentional. It's like, again, we made the decisions. Then we made decisions with their help. Then they make decisions with our help. And then they're going to make decisions. Now, we aren't going to give that all at one time to them. They're our kids. We love them. We want them to grow. We're going to give them some decisions to make. And, you know, Levi's already at that point where he's making some decisions. And we're helping him feedback on that so that it grows and helps him to grow and make good decisions. When he's able and ready to make his own decisions, then he's going to make them. We'll turn over the reins of his life to him. But at this point, God's given us them as a stewardship. We're here to be their parents and to help them. So that works for us. It might not be the plan you have, but whatever your plan is, do it and stick with it. And let God work through it. But be intentional. Don't just like wait till things happen and then respond to them. Plan out life. Remember what it was like when you were a teenager? Remember what it was like when you were a kid? You know, and think about that and then help them to make decisions at that age. When I was a teenager, I thought I knew everything. I thought I was really smart. When I was 21, I thanked my parents because they had learned so much between the time I was 18 and the time I was 21 that I actually had to respect their decisions after that. Because I thought they had grown smarter. But really, I just learned that I wasn't as smart as I thought I was. But I want to be sensitive to that in my kids because I know what it's like when you think you know the right way and you don't. So I don't want to just say, kid, you're dumb. Do it my way. I want to help them to grow through it. Right? You are all teenagers at one time. And I've heard some of the stories, even from Harold, when he was a teenager. When the QEW was a two-lane street. And when the Fords wouldn't go as fast as the Chryslers. And he had a Chrysler and the cops had Fords. So, like, they didn't have walkie-talkies either. So, we all know what it was like to go through that. We got to remember that when we're raising our kids. Be gentle. Think it through. Be intentional. Follow through on it. If you say this is the way it's going to be, then it better be that way. And our kids are going to feel secure in that. They're going to feel happy in that. They're going to know that they can trust you and rely on you, that you've got their back. We can't do it by accident. We have to do it purposefully. So love your kids and have some intentionality in your child raising. Third thing is treat them with love and care that the Father God treats us with. Treat them with love and care. You know what? I realize this. Paul writes, I don't have the scripture right here, but he was sending a slave back to his master. And the slave had run away, and he'd been with Paul for quite a long time. And Paul had worked with him and become a father to him and helped him to grow up. And there came a point where he was sending this slave back to the church that he came from and to the owner that he came from. We can't understand that completely, but he sent him back. And he said to the church in the letter that although I have the right as an apostle, I come to you and really ask you and beg you to take him back. I appeal to you as a brother, even though I have the right of an apostle. And as our kids get older, as our kids grow past, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, and they get to be 13 and 14 and then 17 and 18, I think the shift happens that we stop telling them that they have to obey because we're their parents, and we appeal to them as brothers or sisters in the Lord. I really think it's important for us to help our kids grow and be kind. Like, there's a lot of times as a youth leader in the church, as I did that for a long time, where parents could not get their kids to do things that I could get them to do. But the parent was approaching it from the aspect of, I'm the parent, do what you're told. And these kids were 16, 17, 18, and I'm telling you, not saying this to you young people so you don't have to obey your parents, but instead I appeal to them as a brother in Christ and ask them to do it. And I think it's really important for us to understand that although we have the right of parenthood, and there are some times, I'm going to tell you there are some times, especially when your kids getting messed up in drugs or the kids are getting messed up with the wrong friends, where you just got to put your foot down, even if it's at 17 or 18, and just say, this is the way it's going to be, and just draw some strong lines. But barring that, I think there comes a time where we just have to appeal to them in love as brothers instead of just trying to boss them. If I'm commanding everything of my children when they're 18, they're not going to be able to make good decisions. They're not going to be able to deal with life well. I want them to understand fully how life works. And part of that is learning how to approach things, how to approach people when you need something, how to be kind and take things a lot of times from a more positive approach than a negative approach. Kids are going to mess up, I guarantee you, because they're trying to figure out life. I took out our boat yesterday for the first time. And I've owned a boat before, but I owned it with a partner, and the partner sort of always did the mechanical parts. He always sort of made sure the boat was maintained and made sure everything was all right. Well, I took ours out. Me and the boys were going down the river, and we're flying down the river, and we're having a ball. But then all of a sudden, I'm pushing on the throttle, and it's going, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and it did it again, and it just kept going slower and slower and slower. And then I figured out that there's this little tap on the side of the engine that would let the water out for the winter, that the mechanic had left open, and the back of the boat was filling up with water. We were sinking, right? Because I didn't know what I was doing. I'm a new boat owner. It's the first time I've had to maintain a boat. So we waited for a while. I threw on the bilge pump, let the water get out, talked the engine into starting again, hobbled back to shore, and there we got it, right? But I'm going to make mistakes. It's my first time really having to do all this stuff, and I don't know all the ins and outs. And our kids are the same. It's their first time trying to do all this stuff, and they're trying to figure it out. A lot of times they appear disrespectful, but they're not disrespectful. They're just trying to figure life out. And we got to just come alongside them and help them figure life out. The Bible says in 1 John 3, verse 1, what marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called the children of God. God loves us, calls us His children. He wants us to extend that same love to our kids. Like, what I love about God is that I'm a guy that messes up a lot of times really bad. And a lot of times, even the same way, over and over and over again, I make mistakes. Sometimes I fall really short of the mark. The thing I love about God is as soon as I repent, God forgives me. And He puts it in the past, and we get to move on. Are you like that as a parent? Do you put it in the past and let the guy move on, let the girl move on? Or do you just keep piling up incidences, so that they never get a chance to be free from what they've done in their past? We got to be responsible, right? If our kids keep making the same mistakes over, we got to help them figure out how to not to make the same mistake over and over. And God does that too. But God loves us. In Psalm 103, verse 13, it says, as a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. So if you don't have compassion, there's something wrong, because God said he has compassion just like we have compassion. Like, I remember growing up that if we were late for our curfew by 1 minute, we might as well be late for an hour. Like, our curfew was set in stone. And there was a lot of times there was no compassion in the curfew. And because there was no compassion, it just made me feel rebellious. So then when I knew I was going to miss my curfew, instead of by missing it by 1 minute, I'd miss it by 2 hours. Just because I'm going to get the same punishment anyway, I'm going to have fun. Don't be that kind of parent. Be responsible. Have curfew. Have whatever. But be reasonable. Show love. Show compassion. Show care. There's a whole feeling in this verse of love and compassion that a father should feel toward his children. And that's how we should respond to them, with love and compassion. It's my goal as a father to show my kids God's love, a father God's love, in a human form. If my kids can't relate to me as a loving father, they're going to have a hard time relating to God as a loving father. Now, you could ask my kids. I'm good to them, but I'm not a pushover. We have some pretty straightforward rules in our house, and we don't break those rules. If we do, there's punishment involved. I love them. We have so much fun together. We laugh sometimes until we're going to cry. We brawl, we wrestle, we have just so much fun together. But there are places they know they can't go. And they know if they go there, so I'm not telling you to be a pushover. I'm telling you to show love to them. Be intentional in that. Let's just call it done there. Lord, we just come to you this morning. We thank you so much because you're our God. Thank you as parents that we have children that we get to raise up and we get to nourish in you. Lord, that we get to train, that we get to do our life with, that we get to enjoy so much. Lord, we just ask you today, Lord, for wisdom, Lord, to raise our children. Lord, we ask you for, Lord, just your presence in our lives and in our families and our marriages, God, so that our kids will naturally connect with that. Lord, we ask you today, Lord, just to help us, Lord. Lord, if we have a hard time connecting with our kids, if we feel like there's a wall or a bridge there or a gap there, Lord, where we just can't seem to connect, Lord, I just pray that, Lord, the hearts of the parents will be soft toward the children. Lord, and the hearts of the children will be soft toward the parents. God, and there will become a good connection between them. That they'd be able to live life together in your kingdom, Lord, that the parents would love their children and raise their children in a godly way, that the children would obey and honor their parents. Lord, we just ask you today, Lord, to help us. We do our best, God, but we need you more than anything else. And ask this in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen.